praise you, Jesus. In your name we come, God. And Lord, let us go on enduring the hardness as good soldiers. Lord, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Lord, keeping on with the stuff, going on with the grace, grounded and settled in the faith. Lord, we know where our home is. We're so thankful to God that there's such a purpose and plan in each life. As brother prayed this morning, thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You died for the sin of every man. How you loved the world, God. How you loved this world. And you gave everything you had for this world. And Lord, here he came. Oh, the helpless lamb. Freely given himself for the sin of every man. Oh God, let that message somehow go out through this time. God, through all of these things, even if it be one life, God, what a wondrous time there would be a son, a new, praise God, born of God's Son. Lord, we give you this time, and God, we yield to your Spirit. Lord, give us the ear and the heart to receive it. Lord, open them up and let us be in attentive time, this moment that you've given. Lord, this glory to glory time, even into your very image. Thank you for this calling. Thank you that you chose us. We give you the praise for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn on over to 1 Samuel chapter 6 and... We'll begin reading there. I need a Kleenex here for my eyes. There we go. I'm going to have to get them up here. All right. And then this passage. And I am so grateful to God. And I apologize. I think I said 6. I mean 16. Just making sure you're paying attention. My eye missed the 1 there for a second. So there we go. And this is the choice of David to be king, 1 Samuel 16. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Isn't that wonderful? See, sometimes we like to sit in mourning, and God, knock it off. Quit that. Get on with my stuff. Get over your emotion. It's time to get on with me. It's amazing how we want to just mull in that stuff, and God's got a crown and sitting in a pig pen. Lord, help us. So I said to him, he said, "Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now see, this is interesting here. I want you to understand so many things as we go along, little bits and pieces. May the Lord put them on our heart. See, he rejected Saul as the king. He didn't reject him as his son. Isn't that wonderful? He was always faithful and true to Saul. But see, Saul rejected God's divine plan to let him rule. It's the truth. And there's always one in waiting. Ask Esther. She was right there and ready. Vashti didn't want it. Here was Esther. Saul didn't want it. Here was David. Praise God. I'll tell you what, he's always got a man with a heart for him. Praise God. So, he said, "Fill all thine horn with oil and go." And I love that, all the horn with oil, not just some. We're going to pour it all over this kid. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me." That's a prophet of God. First of all, he's weeping. Now he's fearful. My goodness, how many emotions are we going to get in here? And this is the prophet of God. See, don't despair, Christian. He's still faithful to the ones he chooses. Praise God. He didn't just get rid of Samuel. He encouraged Samuel. Praise the Lord. He had something to show Samuel that, you know what, you're my prophet, but remember, you're my prophet because of my grace. Now I said, "How can I go? Saul going to kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show thee what thou shalt do and what thou shalt anoint me, him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" See, when you come in the word of God, I'll tell you, you can stir them up. And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Come with me. Come to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." So here we have this first son of Jesse come forth, and his name is Eliab. And he said, "Oh, surely this is it." Samuel's all excited. "We got our guy." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance." Don't look upon the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send him and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Oh, hallelujah. They're not sitting down till we come home either. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The beginning of David's life here with God, and that we see here. I mean, he had that fellowship with him as a shepherd boy. We know that and all these things. But here we have this anointing going on him. And how marvelous this is, how he is introduced. You go on over to 1 Kings 11. And here's how it ended up. What glory, what glory, what glory. Chapter 11, verse 4, it said, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that the wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Verse 6, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." You go on over to the 14th chapter and the 8th verse. That's the 14th chapter of 1 Kings, the 8th verse. And it says, in the halfway down there, "David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart, to do that only, only which was right in mine eyes." Now, there was a lot of stuff in between those two portions of Scripture, and I'm talking about in David's life, wasn't there? But it never changed, did it? David was that vessel that had the heart after God's very own heart. God's grace and mercy was always faithful to the heart. As we started off, and what a powerful verse we've heard so many times, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The Lord brought this to me, and he brought me back to that time, and I mentioned it to you. And so many months ago, they had an art exhibit down here at the Denver Art Museum. Monet, one of my favorite artists. I love to look at paintings. And I went out and saw that, and you put those little earphones on, you hear the whole story. Well, Monet was going to his first art exhibit, and so the big critics of Paris came out, and this is a big art show. He was going to get started on all of that. Well, there was a lady that was the top critic, and she was the one that was going to, everybody was going to form their opinion around her. She went up and looked at this painting real closely, and if you ever look about Monet, if you get close to him, and that's what I was doing, was listening and getting close to it, like they said, he didn't paint like other people did. Most people paint like this. He went,
he was just kind of jabbing that thing. And they have film of him. He'd do this every once in a while, but then he'd go in there and go, just so fast hitting that canvas. And that woman looked at that thing and she said, man, this looks like bird droppings. She did. She said, it just looks like a collection. Let's just call it what it is, a bird poop. A bunch of splotches on a canvas. You look up close to it, and I'm going to agree with her. I'll tell you, mistake after mistake, catastrophe after catastrophe, bird droppings all over the place, thousands of them, complete chaos on a canvas. And then I got to smiling, and I thought, well, that's my life. Truly. I got to smiling about David and thinking of this Samuel, a lot about his life. There's a lot of bird drop in there. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, it just looked like a collection of chaos on a canvas. And I was looking at the painting as this was being said, this far away, just about 6 to 10 inches away, and looking at those splotches, and then I'd back up. Saw about 10 feet. Well, my goodness, there was a picture that would start to come into view. And then finally, getting back far enough, about 20, 25 feet, I'll tell you what, all of those splotches, all of those catastrophes went away, and all that remained was a masterpiece. And I was standing out in the middle of this kind of atrium deal, and they had hundreds of his paintings all over, and I could see everyone from that vantage point. And you know what? It was a masterpiece after a masterpiece after a masterpiece and a masterpiece. Hundreds of them all over the place. And there was a reason for that. A reason for that. First of all, Monet was a master. Sure. But second of all, for me to recognize that is I had to stand in the place to see the whole thing. I had to see the whole thing. I couldn't see just bits and pieces of it. And how God so sweetly touched my heart. Yep, Lord, you are the master. You're the creator of it all. But I must, by faith, stand in the place to see everything. And I thank God. Isn't that wonderful? Exactly what Paul's gospel does with us. It puts us in the place to see everything. To see the whole counsel of God. Think about what grace and mercy caused you to see in your life. It caused you to see everything of your life in the Word of God, and everything in the Word of God by His grace in you. See, that's what faith does. Faith doesn't go just on forward. It takes everything even in the past. Did you know that? I believe Romans 8:28 says He works all things. Not just good things, not just some things, but all things together for our good. See, that's the beautiful thing about God. See, let me tell you something. In His foreknowledge, that predestination was perfect beyond your wildest dreams. Oh, yes. He was working on, hallelujah, your life in Christ in ages past. That painting, that masterpiece, praise be to God, was in full view to Him. He saw everything that would come forth because He's God. And He brought forth all of those things for us to walk by faith. Hallelujah. To experience and allow that, praise God, to come forth in our lives. Now, that's the masterpiece, praise the Lord, that He's made in us. And the masterpieces, I praise God, and I thank Him, and I hope that we see around this congregation today. He knew our hearts. He knew our hearts, precious hearts, that we would have a love for the bridal truth. That's it. And so He called you, and He chose you, and praise be to God to be the masterpiece of the ages for Him. Amen. There's reality. The only reality that counts, and that's God's. Hallelujah. But I want us to know it's all those little splotches of life is what got us here today. That God is here today to desire nothing but Paul's all truth gospel. That God is here today by the grace of God to say, I need to see the whole picture. I don't want to see bits and pieces. I want it all. Amen. Now, it took every splotch though, didn't it? All that bird poop, as the critic said, to make that masterpiece. See, if it didn't have all of them, it wouldn't be right. If it didn't have the collection of every thousands of each one of those splotches, the masterpiece would have never come forth. I treasure in the mishaps. I treasure in the wrongs. I treasure in the unseemlies. And I'll tell you what, it's almost like they're accelerating for the people of God today. See, you can either suffer for nothing or you can suffer for something. Amen, you can. And the beautiful thing, praise God, is sometimes I think, well, Lord, how could it be all of that? But you know what? Grace and divine providence is outstanding. You got a calling. God chose you. Let that sink in for just a minute. Just take a break throughout every day. God chose me. I guess it's okay. I mean, think about that. I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I've called you. I've chosen you, honey. Not because of anything about your stature, your looks, your intelligence, lack thereof, or what you think you got. I chose you because I loved you. And hallelujah, praise be to God, he chose us because he loves his son. Now, oft times, I don't know, I might be speaking only to a few here today, but at least I talk to myself. But oft times, I'll tell you what, I think my life is pretty messed up. Amen. And that's not just in the past. Amen. It's an ongoing affair with, sometimes I feel pretty messed up. But, well, and I say, well, how many times, Lord, how could you love me? How could you want me? I think about that Samaritan woman there at the well. Huh? How could you want me? How could you love me? My goodness. Her life was so dysfunctional. I don't know if you really catch that about that passage. Her life was so dysfunctional. It wasn't just that the disciples wouldn't go to her because, you know, the Jew wasn't supposed to go and the Samaritans were irreparable anyways, you know. But she had to go out there at noonday to get her water. And she was by herself. See, the women would always go out to get that water either early in the morning or at night. But see, she was so messed up. She was such a wreck that no woman, even of the Samaritan people, would even be seen with her. But it was that wreck that had a divine appointment with Jesus that day. Walter, I see you weeping underneath that mask, and it's a good thing. Yep. God knows the prostitute Rahab has a heart for him. Jesus knew that woman at his feet loved him so. As those said, don't, you wouldn't even let her touch her if you knew who she was. Looking on the outward appearance. But there was his goodly pearl.
Hallelujah.
See, God's mercy don't end. And I think of us in this way too. The likes of a Sarah. You know, God comes to her, gives her such a promise. Honey, you're going to bring forth the seed. My goodness. It's going to be so evident. Israel's going to come forth. Oh, it's a nation more than the stars in heaven. All that's going to come forth out of you, honey. And I love you, and you know it's grace. But here, you know what? She doesn't believe it, does she? Oh, no, she doesn't. Matter of fact, she even laughs. She gets her husband. She says, now you go ahead and take this woman and, you know, go conceive some kids. And then she hates him for that after she was the one that decided it. But God said, honey, you're still my choice. I said it, and that promise is coming forth through you. Can you hear him say that to you today? Honey, I chose you, and that promise is still going to come forth through you. You messed up, wreck. Huh? Oh, thank you, God. Turn it up. Hallelujah. David and his adultery and murder couldn't separate him from the love of God. It couldn't. Look what we read today. He's my choice. Go anoint him with all the oil. Not just some. You get it all and pour it on that kid. And all of those blotches and splotches and mishaps and unfaithful times. Oh no. His heart was perfect before me. In all his way, he never turned from the word. Like his poor son Solomon did. I wonder if anybody even ever got that at that time. Doesn't matter. We got it, don't we? You talk about grace. You think about how God didn't leave Tamar after sleeping with her father-in-law. Noah, after God saves his family in that beautiful ark and does all of that miracle in his life, he gets drunk and curses his sons. God didn't say, well, that's a sure fine way to thank me, son. He loved him. Peter can't get his eyes off himself for years, entangled with self-righteousness over and over. But there's one thing that's consistent about these people. They're all God's choice. Get over it. You're God's choice. Just get over it. And he chose you for hard things in a hard time. That's God. He just does it that way. He's gonna prove himself in you. Do you understand that? He's going to prove himself in you. Praise the Lord. He loves to prove his word. He loves to prove his faithfulness. Without fail, each one of these, because of God's faithfulness, what happened to them? They all inherited the promises that were given to them, didn't they? Amen. Without fail, every one of them failed. As those promises were still faithful to their lives, they still failed. Amen. They experienced periods of unbelief, but God was still faithful to the promise. Amen. Does I will perform the good work which I've begun in you, does that ring a sweet bell in your heart? Well, wait a second. This Jesus, he has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be to God. And this was for all peoples. I want you to understand that. He's not a respecter of person. But I'll tell you something about the foreknowledge of God. It's always right. God is always right. They have an expression in the Hebrew. It's called a maven. He's a maven. He's always right. And he's the only one there is. Praise God. And I trust him to be right about me. Thinking about those sweet vessels that have gone before us. I'm talking about the stalwarts of faith. They knew God was right about them. Especially in some real hard times. Now, it's all because God sees what no one else does. God sees what nobody else does. And that includes you. I'm going to tell you this. I'll just testify about myself. I don't see what God sees in me. Ask Gideon. He was so insecure, God had to personally speak to him how many times, and he still didn't believe him. You think once would be enough, but you know what? God didn't give up on him. He just said, you're my choice. You're my choice. He spoke to me about this again along these lines this last week. Isn't it amazing how he'll walk with you and talk with you? He's doing it, just listen. I see him in so many beautiful things. But we're thinking about doing a new countertop. And we want to put either a granite or a marble or something like that on there. So here we went to the marble granite place. They have those big, beautiful slabs. And I'm going to tell you something. God's art is beyond anything you can imagine. If you ever want to take a good day at the art museum, go over to a place that sells granite and stone. Just go walk down that mile. I mean, honeys, I'm telling you, the colors, purples, browns, rust, blues, blacks, whites, all that, every shade of it. And yet it was all hidden away in a rock. Hidden. Hidden. All that beauty hidden from sight. He took all that beauty and he hid it away in him. And that's you and me. My heart's been heavy. I know there's been some sweet family of God hurting themselves, hurting their bodies. You got to see the beauty you are in Christ, the value you are to God. Nothing else is going to give you that. This man calls it esteem, value, purpose. If you'll know this gospel, honeys, you'll know you're the most priceless item there's ever been and ever been made for him. True. Now, where are we at? Well, I guess we should just let the Master and his divine plan define us. Amen? Not just one or two events. I'll call them the splotches or the bird poops of our life. That's not there to define you. It's there to take more grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And it's there to take more grace and mercy, not only for your life, but for your brother's life. Yeah. See, the collection of all of your life's events, we need to see them in the Word of God, or you'll never understand your life. You'll never get it. You'll either think that you were better than somebody else, or you think that you're underprivileged, that somehow you're deficient, or somehow you got a bad deal. If you'll see your life in this Word and every bit of it, I'll assure you, you'll see one thing. The same thing I saw when I backed up far enough away to see all of them splotches. You'll see a masterpiece. You'll see perfection beyond what you could ever imagine. And then someday maybe you'll truly love to offer up on that altar the real deal. And you know what that offer is? The sacrifice. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If you ever wanted to offer something to God, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I offer it to him by the grace of God every day. I thank you for your grace. Pour your mercy on this vessel. And I stand before him every day because of this wondrous word. I do. I stand before him perfect, perfect. Hallelujah. In all the Word of God. Because I believe him. I see it. I got back far enough from me to see him. I don't see me no more. I see Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. And we do give you all the praise and thanksgiving today. Lord, it's a precious day. It's a solemn day. But I'll tell you what, it might even turn into the Lord's day. And oh God, we look for that day, the appearing of our great God, our Lord and Savior, our precious bridegroom. Lord, thank you again for the peace that passes all understanding that you have given. Lord, just encourage our hearts to walk through it more and more. God, let us know we are the worthies of faith at this time. At this time. Lord, authoring and finishing the riches of your glory. The height of love and passion of your heart. You're preparing in a vessel that you will receive into yourself. That you will take her in your arms. And Lord, bestow upon her, Lord God, this joint throne that all that is mine is yours. Lord, I see that picture. I've gotten far back enough to see it, Lord God, that I only see him transparent through all of the splotches, all of the unseemlies. I see Christ. I see Christ. And we give you the praise. Encourage your people. Oh God, let us look up. Because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In Jesus' name, amen.